My sermon title this morning, Revisiting the Past. Ellen White makes a statement. She says to this extent that we should not forget, because if we do, we will miss something that's important going to happen in the future, so we can learn from what's happening in the past. But before I bring my message, let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, you've heard our declaration again this morning, and we want to thank you for your word. Lord, it is therein that we find encouragement, we find the plan of salvation, we find hope. We ask now that as we spend this time in the word this morning, that you would open our hearts and our understanding, and we would do your will to the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning was very aptly read by Sandy, and thank you. But it deals with the times in which Noah lived. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, or the end of time. But let me ask you a question. Does the passage that was read for our scripture reading this morning, does that passage mean that the people weren't warned of a coming flood? Or does it mean they didn't believe that it would come? They had plenty of warning, didn't they? But they chose to ignore and ridicule the message and the messenger. Now we're going to see as we study God's Word that there's many things that happen in the Old Testament that as a parallel that's going to take place in the last days. And when we revisit the past, we can learn how we should deal with the future. From Signs to the Times, April the 1st, 1886, long time ago. Signs of the Times, April the 1st, 1886. Ellen White says, the time of Noah prefigures the present age. What age? The present age. Christ tells us that as it was in the time of Noah, so shall it be in the days immediately preceding is appearing in the clouds of heaven. Human nature in our day, uninfluenced by the Spirit of God, is the same as in the age of Noah. And Satan is not asleep. He is as active and vigilant now as he was then. While the voice of God is making itself heard through his servants in warning and entreaties, he is mustering his forces. He engages his hosts with gigantic energies to make, through his sophistries and cruelties and oppressions, the words of warning have no effect. The people are tested, and the great mass will be found on the side of the great deceiver, and will be overwhelmed in swift and irretrievable destruction. But those that heed the warnings of God, and in their lives bring forth fruit meet for repentance, they shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For them is the promise. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's good stuff, isn't it? The Bible in Hebrews chapter 7 declares, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, move with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, folks, let me tell you that Noah's message was simple and it was straight to the point. And with sanctified imagination, I could see Noah this particular day maybe standing on the courthouse steps. And he says, "The Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has spoken to me because of the great wickedness in the earth. And because things is getting worse, God has given you 120 years to turn from your wickedness. You are to turn your life around. If you don't, God will destroy the earth with a flood. In the meantime," Noah says, "he has asked me to build a boat. It's a special boat to save those that love and obey him." Now, can you imagine Noah standing wherever he was that particular day and proclaim the message to the community in which he lived? And you remember the reaction to his message, don't you? But it wasn't the word that was spoken that left an impression upon the people. It was Noah's consistent faith and his works combined that condemned the world. He not only preached and taught the people, but his life was a living illustration to his belief that the world would soon end. Noah was asked to build a boat. Maybe he became the largest employer in the community. I'm not exactly sure. But he had men go into the forest and cut the trees. And he had people bring them out, float them down the rivers. He had people shape these timbers. And he had people work on the ark and help him build that boat. Ellen White says, Noah never lifted his voice in warning. His works, his holy character among the corrupt and ungodly would have been condemning sermons to the unbelieving of that age. Now, let me tell you something, folks, and this is awesome. It's a big responsibility. As sure as Noah was called to build that ark, you have been called to prepare a people for Jesus to come. You are to proclaim the warning message that God is coming, and he's going to destroy the world next time, not with water, but by fire. How do you think the people are going to react to you? What did he do with Noah? They laughed at him. They scoffed at him. What must it have been like for Noah and his family to listen to the insults, the taunts, and the mockery of the people at that particular time? Can you imagine Mrs. Noah going to the market and into the community? It was a small community. Maybe something like Aiken, where, you know, it was not unusual for them to know lots of people. But what must have been like for Mrs. Noah going to the market and the other women taunting her, talking about her crazy husband? Building a boat? It never rained. What's rain? Why, I live next door to such and such a fellow, and he's a scientist down at the university, and he says, Noah is crazy. Folks, the world laughed at Noah's warnings, and the world is no more favorable of developing a Christian character today than it was in Noah's day. Wickedness was so widespread in Noah's time that God said in Genesis 6, verses 7 to 9, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. What a testimony! Noah walked with God. You know, some of us might not live long enough to see Jesus come in the clouds of glory, but what an epithet. And Pastor Al walked with God. Robert walked with God. And Bernie and his household walk with God. What a testimony. Let me ask you a question. Do we believe that Jesus is coming soon and the world as we know it will be destroyed? We believe that, don't we? If this is so, can others see in us, by our current activities and lifestyle, do they see that we are different? Another question, will you remain faithful even if you're laughed at and ignored because of your peculiar lifestyle? My goodness, the fact that I go to church on Sabbath, people laugh at me. Let me share with you what Ellen White wrote in Signs of the Times, March 31st, 1890. There is a class of persons who are not following the example of Christ in keeping God's law, yet they claim to be holy. They are ready to appropriate the promises of God without fulfilling the conditions upon which they are given. But their faith has no foundation. It is like sliding sand. There is another class who see the claims of the law of God, and although it involves a cross, they chose the path of obedience, coming out, separating themselves from the world. They do not consult convenience or shrink from accepting the truth for fear of reproach. They step out from the paths of transgression and place their feet in the way of God's commandments. They follow the example of Christ. They listen and wait to catch every word of direction from the captain of their salvation. They respond to the voice that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Every step that Noah and Abraham took in obedience to God's word was a step of victory. And thus saith the Lord, fortified Noah in doing his work of warning the world. The testimony in regard to Noah is, and Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now listen to this, folks. When Noah stood up on the deck of his boat and he preached to these people, the world was only 1,600 years old. The people had never seen any natural disasters such as we see today. Folks were sitting in the church right here in Aiken this morning, and there's a natural disaster that's taking place out on the coast. It's the sign that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. He speaks about the earthquakes and the famines and the disasters. It is a sign that the coming of Jesus is close. Now, these people never heard of tornadoes and floods and earthquakes and such to destroy the beauty of the earth. Ellen White, writing of this, said, "At that time, the world showed scarcely the first signs of decay. Everything in nature was beautiful and lovely. The lofty trees, the towering mountains, the signs that God had hung in the heavens appeared so great and grand to the people that they refused to believe that the earth was to be destroyed. The antediluvians were warned, but the record states that they knew not until the floods came and took them all away. Signs of the Times, April the 10th, 1901. Now, through the years, it wasn't some one-time deal that Noah went down and stood up on the steps of the courthouse and warned the people and said, in 120 years, God is going to send a flood, he's going to send the rain, and he's going to destroy this earth. Get your act together and live by faith, obedience to God's will, and you can be saved. All you got to do is get on this boat that I'm going to build. Through the years, you see, Noah preached. And it seems that it passed without apparent change in nature. And men who maybe trembled at fear at, you know, the first time Noah preached that warning, they went through greater and greater lengths in wickedness now. As far as human wisdom was concerned, the events that Noah had predicted was not likely to occur. It never rained before. Can you imagine Noah trying to explain what rain was? Because the brooks and the rivers, they flowed safely within their banks to the sea. Noah was denounced as an extremist and as an alarmist. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can you imagine some radio talk show host getting up in Noah's day and talking about that extremist, that alarmist? Men will reject the solemn warning of in our day as they did in Noah's time. In Noah's time, they said that it was foolishness for Noah to build a ark on dry ground, and the unbelief was one that strengthened the unbelief in others. And I want to tell you, when you proclaim that Jesus is coming soon, they will scoff. People will scoff at you. Not all of them. Because God has sincere people out there in these churches. He has sincere people who's never darkened a church door. That will come. That will listen. That will hear. That will get onto the ark of safety. The good ship Zion. The Bible tells us that when the ark was finished, one of the first things that happened, something took place in nature. The animals came two by two, and they came by sevens. It was an orderly manner, and they went into the ark. Folks, this is more exciting than television. It keeps you on the edge of your seat, doesn't it? There was nobody prodding these animals. They moved of their own accord, their own free will. They came and they went into that boat. And then the Bible tells us that Noah and his family went in. And maybe the folks in the community, I don't know, but with sanctified imagination, I can see them gathering around. Now, they see the animals go on, and Noah makes his last message of warning, inviting them to come and get onto the boat. And maybe they're all down there early in the morning, they're going to watch this event take place. Noah and his family goes in, and God closes the door to the ark. Maybe they said, honey, maybe we should have listened to Noah. We could have got on board that ark this morning. But the afternoon came, nothing happened. They had a good night's sleep. Woke up in the morning, the sun was shining in the sky. It was a beautiful day. And they said, the scientists must be right. Noah is crazy. And of course, by the second day, they were laughing and they carried on festivities because Noah is in the boat. It talks about they're down there now and they're laughing. Noah, you're in there with these stinky animals. Open up the windows. Open up something. Get some fresh air. Come on out, man. The third day. The fourth day. They continue now in their reverie and they says Noah was foolish and well, you know the story. It was a time of triumph for the world without. The apparent delay, you see, confirmed them in their belief that Noah's message was a delusion, or Noah was delusional, and that the flood would never come. And although Noah was safe inside, didn't rain. But God said the flood was coming and Noah trusted God's word. Now, in this afternoon, let me invite you to do something. Get the family around. Get out the book, Patriarchs and Prophets. Start on page 99 and read that story to your family. It is absolutely fascinating. 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, no rain. But the eighth day, listen to this. But upon the eighth day, dark clouds overshadowed the heavens. There followed the muttering of thunder and the flash of lightning, and soon large drops of rain began to fall. Now what was happening in the community? Can you imagine dialing the talk show host and saying, Noah said it was going to rain. What does the scientist say about this? What do you think about this? Maybe they gave him some confidence for a little while that this is a phenomenon that we hadn't seen before, but the scientists are working on it, and they can tell us what's happening in the cosmos. Flashes of lightning, this thunder, I'm sure that they can come up with an explanation and they can tell us what's making the rain. Soon large drops of rain began to fall. The world had never witnessed anything like this, and the hearts of men were struck with fear. All were secretly inquiring, can it be that Noah was in the right and that the world is doomed for destruction? Darker and darker grew the heavens, and faster came the falling rain. Then the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Waters appeared to come from the clouds in mighty cataracts. Rivers broke away from their boundaries and overflowed the valleys. Jets of water burst from the earth with indescribable force, throwing massive rocks hundreds of feet into the air. And these rocks, in falling, buried themselves deep in the ground. The people first beheld the destruction of the works of their own hands. Their splendid buildings and the beautiful gardens and groves where they had placed their idols were destroyed by lightning from heaven, and the ruins were scattered far and wide. The altars on which human sacrifices had been offered were torn down, and the worshippers were made to tremble at the power of the living God, and to know that it was their corruption and idolatry which had called down this destruction. As the violence of the storm increased, trees and buildings, rocks and earth were hurled in every direction. The terror of man and beast was beyond description. Above the roar of the tempest was heard the wailing of the people that had despised the authority of God. Many of the people, like Satan, blasphemed God, and had they been able, they would have torn him from his throne of power. Others were frantic with fear, stretching their hands toward the ark and pleading for admittance, but their entreaties were in vain. Conscience was at last aroused to know that there is a God that ruleth the heavens. They call upon him earnestly, but his ear was not open to their cry. Church, when God sends a message, if the message checks out according to what's written. We should, according to Noah's experience, accept the message, even though it may not make sense to us at first. I believe that time now is running out for this whole world, and all about us are signs that Jesus gave as indicators that the end is near. That's why I encourage you to search the Scriptures every day. Compare the Scriptures with current events and decide for yourself the course that you should pursue. Church, the time in which we are living is very serious. What could be more important than making sure that you and your family are prepared to follow God's leading? Daniel 12:10 says, "Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Let me emphasize, at the appointed time, the flood came. At the appointed time, God led Israel out of Egypt, the great Exodus. At the appointed time, Jesus was born. At the appointed time, he began his ministry. At the appointed time, Jesus was crucified. At the appointed time, Jesus will return. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Did the people of Noah's time expect the flood? Or no one to expect the flood? Yes, they did. Let me ask the question again. Did the people of Noah's time know when to expect a flood? Yes, because Noah told them in 120 years the flood would come. Maybe he says, at another time when he stood on the deck of his boat, he says, "Folks, it's just 60 more years. Get your act together. Probation is closing. The flood is going to come." Maybe another time he stood on the stern of his boat. I'm not exactly sure. But he proclaimed to the people, "Folks, there's only 5 years left. Get your act together. Oh, folks, next week the flood is going to come. Get ready. Get on the ark." And then they see the animals going on. And then Noah makes his last appeal. "Tomorrow morning, you'll be here by 8 o'clock. It's your last opportunity. My family and I are made our decision. We'll be on the ark. You come and join with us." And 8 o'clock in the morning came, but the people came and they laughed. And the door was shut. Was there some kind of timeline, or was it just a coincidence that Noah preached for 120 years? For 120 years, the antediluvians, you see, were on probation, free to choose to obey or disobey the voice of God. They could refuse to hear his voice and be destroyed. Folks, you have to understand, from the time that Noah began to preach to the time that the floods came, it was countdown to eternity for these people. You see, the unchanging God, the Creator God in which we serve, He has a methodology, He has a way of doing things. How do you say it in the military? A modus operandi, if you please. And one of the things, and one of His methods, if He's going to do something, He will give a preview through the prophet. In fact, Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets." He's given us His Word. Go to Matthew chapter 24. It talks about the last days, the days in which we live. Now, another question. Was it just a coincidence that Noah preached 120 years and Methuselah died the year of the flood? You know, in Bible times, they put great emphasis on naming their children. Of Enoch, it was written, he lived 65 years and he begat a son. Evidently, Enoch named his son Methuselah as a vehicle to predict the flood. Methuselah comes from two words, metu, meaning is death. Selah means to sin. Methuselah, his name literally means when he dies, it will come. The facts are, Enoch first predicted the coming of world destruction. God had shown him a vision in Jude verses 14 and 15. It says, Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, and to all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Enoch walked with God. And every time that Enoch called his son, maybe as a little boy, where it's supper time, he went out and he says, Methuselah! Methuselah! And the people in the neighborhood would hear Enoch or Enoch's wife calling their son, Methuselah. It was a witness that sometime in the future the flood was coming and wicked men would be destroyed from the earth. Did Enoch know the day that his son, or the time that his son was going to die? Did Enoch know the time that his son was going to die? No. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Do we know what day Jesus is going to come back? Of that day and hour knoweth no man but my Father in heaven only. But the year that Methuselah died, the flood was sent. Isn't that amazing? There are many parallels between the flood and the second coming of Jesus. Both are preceded by a period of probation. Probation begins for the people of Noah's time when Noah began to preach. Probation began for the people living at the time of the end when the preaching of the with the preaching of the second coming and the conclusion of the 2300-day prophecy. When did that 2300-day prophecy conclude? In 1844. So since the year 1844, the people on planet Earth has been on probation. When the message was proclaimed that Jesus is coming soon, get ready, probation began for the people of the last days. So what have we learned from all this? The first thing that we should have learned, that God does not bring judgments on the earth without first warning mankind through His servants, the prophets. The second thing that we should have learned, when God predicts something it's going to happen, it's going to happen exactly on time. The third thing that we should learn from this is that Peter tells us that scoffers in the last days willfully forget the flood and Noah's countdown, and men will reject God's countdown to the second coming. Now, folks, I want to tell you, our work is definitely laid out for us. One more statement. Signs of the Times, April the 17th, 1881. As Noah warned the people of the coming flood, so God desires His people today to give the warning message of Christ soon coming. There is no time to lose. Christ's coming is near at hand, and instead of spending our lives in inactivity, instead of investing our means in the things of this world, we should use our talents to the glory of God. End of the quotation. Peter, he describes the attitude of the world in reference to the last day message. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, I'm going to start in the first verse and read through. Let me just read a little bit of the chapter. This is dealing with the last days. It says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment, of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first," now listen to this, "knowing this first, that scoffers will come in what days? The last days, of walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness dwells." Oh, their hearts. Heaven is a wonderful place. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. You won't lose your loved one. Jesus is coming again soon. Let us be ready. Let us, by our very witness, the characters that we live in our everyday jobs, at home, wherever we are, as Noah pounded the nails in that boat, it was a testimony to the community that a ark was being built. By the love, the lives that we live, they know that there is something different about us. Let us tell them about the soon coming of Jesus. That's my desire and my prayer. In His name, amen.